This is Talking Property on 882 6PR, the voice of Perth.
Thank you, Philippa, for the 9 o'clock news. And Philippa will be back just ahead of Saturday morning at the football with another bulletin. Now, if you'd like to ask a question about anything, including the catching of lobsters, then I think that probably this is the right program. Our esteemed normal co-host, Rob Druitt, is apparently Hayden Groves, president of Rewa, who's in the chair today. Apparently, Rob is fishing the waters of the Indian Ocean out of lobsters.
Well, I call it gloating, Harvey. I call it gloating, and he's posted on Facebook a very impressive looking catch, isn't he, Paul? Yeah. He's got this amazing catch out there.
Paul Donovan joins us from MDS Legal, by the way, in case you're wondering who Paul is.
G'day, Harvey. G'day, Hayden. Yeah, I think there were at least a dozen of the crays there, and they all look delectable, and they also all look legal too. So
yeah.
Good to see that.
I don't know much about Facebook. I'm kind of back on it in a silly way, and as soon as I activated something, I get a message saying you've got 99 things. Is there, in regards to Rob Druitt, is there a don't like or a don't want a friend button to push? So I don't want to know all about his lobster fishing.
Yeah, there always is a don't like button, I think, on Facebook, Harvey. But you get all those requests for being a friend because you're such a popular guy, Harvey. That's the reason.
Didn't know I owed money to so many people. But anyway, good on you, Rob. And I have to be honest with you. He's on a bit of a roll with his craze. I think he's got some pots somewhere. And he dropped one in last Saturday, and we enjoyed it in the back outside at the patio, in the patio, with a glass of half-decent bubbly yesterday. So that went down well. Thank you, Rob. He'll be listening.
He will be, absolutely. Mm. Yeah, and gloating.
He'll probably do a David Airy and text us and email us in a minute. Yeah. Anyway, folks,
enjoy those crayfish.
We are here for Summit Homes, and we thank them for their ongoing sponsorship. Today, our $100 cash prize for one of our callers comes to us with the compliments of one of the divisions of Summit Homes, Summit Granny Flats. And you can learn more about them, summitgrannyflats.com.au. Now, to qualify, you have to call us, obviously, on 922 11 882 and have a chat. And then we'll work out who wins just before 10 o'clock. You're more than welcome to send a text having said that, but you don't qualify for the prize, 19 999 677, or the email, just pop it into harvey@6pr.com.au. Hayden, as Prez, what's your reading of the market at the moment?
Slow and steady is the way to go to win the race, as they say, Harvey. And look, that really is the market right now. We're not seeing it's actually quite a nice market to be involved in as a real estate practitioner out there. And certainly buyers are still in a bit of an unhurried mood. There's not a lot of transactional activity occurring in the residential sector. So it means that, therefore, buyers do have a fair bit of choice. But unfortunately, what tends to happen in these market environments, buyers take their time, as is their want. Sellers are not in a hurried mood to necessarily slash and burn their price because we're in a low inflationary environment. Interest rates are very low. So sellers, unless they're really absolutely compelled to sell, and there's not many of those, thankfully, they're tending to hold. And so, you know, you've got this about a 72-day average sale time at the moment, which is a little bit longer than normal. And I think probably what might happen is that once buyers start to go, and it could be any reason why buyers start to go, a bit of a trigger, then suddenly there might be a bit of a flurry of buying activity.
It seems to me, correct me if I'm wrong, but whenever an election is called, and, well, one has kind of been called, all we need now is for the Governor-General to invite Mr. Turnbull over for a cup of tea, and then it's on.
Or a crayfish, perhaps.
Yeah, well, Rob will be there with his crays. There seems to be a slowdown in activity when there's an election campaign. Why is that so?
Well, people hold, you know, they want to wait to see really what the likely outcome of the election is going to be, perhaps, and that can happen at the state or the federal level. I mean, obviously, the Labor opposition at the federal level have introduced a policy around negative gearing, for example. I mean, in our opinion, that will significantly skew the market and is a poor policy and ill-conceived. I think it would be very dangerous.
Yep.
It would drive rents up.
Well, history tells us it would be, doesn't it?
Well, that's right. And, you know, when a previous government did start it, they had to quickly retreat about 18 months later.
Very quickly.
Because it drove rents up and prices started to fall away. So they really started to get themselves in a bit of strife.
And also it put more pressure on social housing, and that means more pressure on the taxpayer.
Well, it falls to the states, and that's one part of the debate that's not really perhaps been raised much, is that the individual state governments are going to have to fill that hole when people can no longer afford to rent houses.
Mm. They may have to rethink that inside 18 months, I would think, Labor.
Well, I hope they
do. Like before the election, like say, 18 minutes.
Well, particularly when we've seen it historically not work before. And I haven't seen anything that's going to make it look incredibly different this time.
Well, also, it'll drive the policy, of course, talks about negative gearing provisions only applying for building new dwellings. And so all that does is it pushes people to the periphery of the city areas. So because investors will only be doing that. They won't be buying established residential property in the inner city areas. And as a result, you'll have a shortage there, rents will go up, and investors will be helping spread urban sprawl, which is something that we're trying to avoid.
Now, normally, on a Friday night, you're out disco dancing and going to all the nightclubs, but I believe you had another duty last night, Hayden.
Yes, I wasn't under the disco ball last night, Harvey. No, we had. Look, there was a fantastic charity auction that I was very pleased to be invited along to. It's an art collective down in Fremantle called SHAC, S-H-A-C. It does stand for something. I can't recall what it is, but it's an artist collective, and down in a new development in White Gum Valley, which is a Land Corp development, and it's Western Australia's first One Planet development, which means all of the people that are buying in there will have to adhere to very strict building codes but creating houses and creating homes that are more efficient to run, energy efficient, so much, much cheaper longer term to run your home, and also built with the highest sustainable principles in mind. So it's a really fantastic initiative. And a portion of this development is from Access Housing. They've built this fantastic affordable rental accommodation environment for the artists down there, and I ran the auction last night. So that's probably why I'm a little croaky today. Yeah, very good. All of the pieces sold, which is fantastic. So there's about 12 pieces of art. Magnificent art too. I mean, they're very, very clever people, these artists. And I did feel a little bit out of place with my suit on in that environment amongst all those artists, but they welcomed me with open arms, and it was a great night.
Good on you. Terrific. Now, Paul, on MDS Legal, what are some of the issues that have been confronting you since last we met about, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks ago in here?
Well, look, Harvey, you always get a range, but it's interesting to see where you can have a different emphasis when times are tough, and you will get people who are either on the receiving end of someone who's just, for no particular reason, said, I want to discontinue this contract.
Mm.
Or alternatively, you'll have the person who comes into your office and says, look, my circumstances have changed entirely. I want to see if there's an ability to get out of this contract. And people sometimes, because times are tight, can find themselves in that sort of position. Mm. So it's one of the aspects that we're seeing. But there's usually a whole lot of questions, and presumably some of your callers today have got some questions as to the way in which property law works. And
we do love dividing fences questions, don't we?
Yeah, retaining walls, dividing fences. Yeah.
Yeah, look, it's funny. And look, I've seen some really sad stories over the years with people getting into fights and disputes about dividing fences, and they're very often over not much money. And so I always urge people that if you can settle it over a cup of tea with your neighbour early in the piece, it's a far better way of going than getting involved in litigation and expensive law and all of that sort of stuff.
But you never know where it's going to end, do you? Well, you know it's going to end somewhere, but you don't know how long it's going to take to get there.
Well, I recall one where there was some guys who were in dispute over a fence, and so they started going a bit feral with each other, and they both had some beautiful views across the river, and one started trying to grow a tree to block out the other guy's view. So it had nothing to do with the legalities of it, but that's how bitter those things can go when you've got a legal dispute. So it's never a great idea.
So if you see your neighbour arriving home from Bunnings or somewhere with a truckload of bougainvillea plants,
I'd be worried.
I'd knock on their door and say, is there anything that we need to know?
Well, I always used to like the way the Swan River Trust, if somebody decided to cut down a tree, the opposite thing, in order to preserve their view, and the tree was built, was growing on public land, the Swan River Trust would come along and put a whopping great sign up in the way so that it still ruined their view anyway. So I thought that was quite good. So I think that's probably stopped that from happening a fair bit.
Hopefully, yeah.
Paul, this is a bit unfair probably coming out of left field here because it may not be your area of expertise, but I've often wondered when I – and I tend not to park on anywhere but on pavement, mainly because sometimes a little – you know, nails and all sorts of things. In one case, a drill bit that went through my tyre.
Sure. Yeah.
And I do sort of visit a lot of places during the week. And so, but I prefer to park in driveways and on the road. But I see signs that say registered lawn. What is a registered lawn? And is it legally enforceable?
Well, look, it's a good question, Harvey, because you don't see as much as the measure you used to.
No,
you used to actually walk around the suburbs a lot and you see those little signs, registered lawn. So, look, to some degree, I'm guessing, I'd have to admit. But I think that the answer to it was is that you used to with local government, and I don't think you can do it now, maybe I'm wrong, but you would be able to register the fact that the verge, which of course is usually controlled by the local government in any event.
Not yours, yeah.
The verge was actually registered in your name and that for some reason people weren't allowed to park up on the verge. I think that was the idea of it, but maybe the fact you don't see those signs as much now either shows that it wasn't effective at the end of the day or that they no longer
let you do it. That was my understanding of it. It was just sort of like a bit of a furphy that said, hey, registered lawn, people think, oh, dear, we can't park on there, but if they did, nothing ever happened to them.
Potentially, particularly around Subiaco Oval on football days.
And it's the same thing, really, as I understand it, with we're getting right off topic here, same thing as I understand it, with signs that say local traffic only going into particular areas. if you use that as a thoroughfare to cut through, maybe to bypass busy roads, I don't think there's much people can do to stop you doing that.
No, it's just, I think, a disincentive to try to stop people doing the rat runs. So, I don't think it works. You do see the signs out there, don't you? But I don't think they get paid much attention to.
No, look, I think you're right, and I think that maybe if someone was standing on the corner that they'd be able to ping you on some bylaw. But, look, the reality is it's probably more asking people to do the right thing rather than be creeping around in back laneways.
Exactly. All right, 922-118-882. We'll take your calls after this.
Talking property for Summit Homes Group. Visit summithomesgroup.com.au. Every Sunday morning on 6PR, we open the door to the house of wellness.
Your senses, sight, touch, taste and hearing are so important to your well-being. Did you realise one in six of us suffers some form of hearing loss? This week on the show, how the loss of hearing affects your overall well-being, and we look at treatments that are right for you. Plus, everything you need to get well, stay well, live well, and look great.
Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
The House of Wellness, 8 a.m. Sunday on 6PR.
Want to subdivide your land but don't necessarily want to build? I'm Abel from SubPro, the Subdivision and Property Professionals. Did you know that if you talk to us, you can subdivide within 8 months and you don't even have to build? We can help you unlock the maximum value of your land through subdivisions with total flexibility. Take advantage of our years of experience to help you avoid the pitfalls and maximise the rewards. Book your free consultation now at subpro.com.au. Your property, our passion.
Emergency Denture Repairs and Dental 777 provide a complete service for all your dental needs. General, cosmetic, implant and prosthetic dentistry. EDR manufacture affordable dentures and implant dentures on site and do emergency repairs while you wait. They offer rebates from all health funds with up to 80% rebate for HBF members plus. Call 93822222 to book with an EDR or dental 777 surgery today.
So you've hit your 50s and your six-pack is now a keg. You're not sleeping well and you need a whiz in the night and you can't find your mojo when you need it most. Well, you might have low testosterone and be at risk of developing type 2 diabetes. Now is the chance to join a research trial with a proven weight loss program that is testing the effect of testosterone treatment to prevent progression to type 2 diabetes. So if you're aged between 50 to 74, you might be a suitable candidate for the study. Find out more at diabetesprevention.org.au. You've nothing to lose except excess weight and you might even find Jumaja.
Gotta love the footy, especially when your team beats his. At Liquorland, celebrate with amazing low prices on your favourites for the footy, like Wolf Blass Red Label Wines, $7 each, save $5. That's 40% off. Gotta love low prices at Liquorland.
Purely commercials have two-wheel drive utes, four-wheel drive utes, box body utes, space cab utes, dual cab utes. In fact, we have over 50 utes in stock. So if you want a ute, see purelycommercials.com.au.
Until 10, this is Talking Property.
It is. Hayden Gross, president of REWA, is in the chair today, and he's joined by Paul Donovan from MDS Legal, and 9221882 is the number for you to call. Obviously, if you have any legal questions involving property, then Paul's the man to answer those questions for you. Treasure joins us now from Munster. Hi, Treasure.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, I've got a question. We own sort of subdivided property in Attadale.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 680 square meters, and it's a two-story home. When we purchased it, it was already sort of subdivided. Considering it's such a large block, can that be re-subdivided?
Treasurer, look, I don't know the zoning specifically in that area that you're in Attadale, but I do know the area quite well. And my guess is, and just double-check with the City of Melville about this, is that the zoning there would be at least R20. It could actually even be as low as R15, which means, in broad terms, R15 is 15 dwellings per 10,000 square metres, so a hectare of land, and R20, obviously, 20 dwellings per 10,000 square metres in round terms, in round numbers. There are some slight changes to that under the residential design codes, but 668 square metres, did you say, Treasurer?
Yep.
Yeah, my best guess is that no, you won't be able to subdivide. The only way you could potentially is if it was R25 and then you might just scrape in. So at the moment, short answer is no, you can't re-subdivide that land.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
But worth going to the council and checking.
Yeah, worth going to the council and checking. But I'd suggest that you'll find it's either R15 or R20.
Okay.
Thank you, Treasure. Good on you. Thank you. Denise in Palmyra. G'day, Denise.
Oh, hello there. I'm just ringing up about your comments you made about the verges before.
Mm.
In our suburb, we're having all our gas pipes changed, and all our verges, or most of them, are being dug up by a gas company, and the pipes being, you know, re-threaded down to the house. So our verges, which were beautiful and green and grassy, have all been dug up, and they look like demolition sites. But the guys, they've done a good job. They've filled in the holes and they've flattened everything, but it's all sand and dirt.
Mm.
And then they've gone. So I rang the council and I said, well, look, you know, we maintained them before. In fact, we put seed and stuff down ourselves. Who's going to look after the verges now? And they said, oh, no, this company have got a gardening group that are going to come along and reseed and topsoil for you. It's their responsibility because they've been doing the gas work. So I thought, great. But I still asked the question about verges in terms of there was a neighbour who's quite annoyed, and she gives people letters to say, don't park your car on my verge. And not that we do, but there's a few. And the council guy said to us that no one can park on our verges without our permission, because everyone says, oh, it's Crown land, it's council land. And he said, technically that's right, but it's our responsibility to look after them, and that if we have trouble with people parking on our verges, to ring the ranger and they can be fined, because it's actually part of our property as such.
Mm.
So
that's interesting. I thought it was not part of...
Well, it's not technically in a legal sense part of your land, but yes. Councils, because of their fiscal limitations, they can't, I suppose, look after everybody's verge as perhaps they would like to. And so quite often it falls to house-proud owners to maintain them themselves. And certainly my own personal experience, I had a verge that was 220 square metres of verge. And boy, looking after that was fairly intense. But certainly the council weren't going to give me any help with it.
You're making too much money at Deathridge Groves, obviously.
And that was the verge, mate. I didn't own it.
But Denise, yeah, it's a good point you make, though, because, of course, the council can, through their regulations, in effect, bring about a situation where someone can't park on your lawn. So it doesn't matter whether it's your right or it's the council enforcing a right on your behalf, it still gives you the same benefit. So I think that's a good point, that if people are parking on most people's verges, it's not something that they can do with gay abandon and just sort of park their cars there. If you live near a school, well, bad luck, people will just park on your verge. The council will.
He actually used that term. Yeah. People can't park there with gay abandon. He said if we'd have to put the rates up and do all sorts of things to you if we had to maintain all the verges. You're maintaining your garden, we ask you to do that, but we'll look after you by providing a ranger who can sort out that problem for you. So, yeah. And that's Melville Council, so I presume that's across the board in local government.
I'm sure it is, and in my local area where I live, we've just been having some issues involving a school, and the council's been of great assistance, and so, you know, they manage these sorts of things, and they can either go more formal or informal, but usually the rangers can be called on. So anyone's having a problem with that, that'd be the first thing I suggest they do, get in touch with the council.
And can I have a little tearjerker this morning? We put down the soil and the seed's been put down, and we've actually filled in some gaps with that rollout lawn. This is, you know, we're being really fussy, and we've put some of that down to fill in the gaps. We've got up this morning to go down and give it a sprinkle, and some idiot has parked on one end of the verge. So we are not happy, and we're going to have to go down the road and knock on their door and say, can't you see we're re-establishing this?
Oh, you know who it is, do you?
Rude letter follows, I'd say, Denise.
Oh, yes, we do, but just brainless, not realising.
People just don't think.
But looking after your verge, you know, it's important. If you look after your verge, you actually enhance the value of your property quite significantly.
Oh, it's a lovely street we live in, so we're all sort of taking pride in trying to get that to happen.
It's a great suburb you're in, Denise.
Good on you. Thank you, Denise, for your call. Here's an interesting text has come through. The first bit is we knew. Local traffic only signs are definitely a furphy, says Terry. Now, as are registered lawn signs. However, most council local parking laws, there are no such things as bylaws since the new, in inverted commas, Local Government Act of 1995, he says. I reckon he's in local government, this bloke, I reckon. Specify that only the owner of the adjoining property or their invitees can park on the verge outside a property unless it is a designated no parking on verge area. It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, this guy knows his stuff.
He does.
He does.
I reckon he's in the business. Terry, if you want to give us a call, we'll have a chat to you about it. But
it's a bit like when they changed, Harvey, that, you know, no longer they use the phrase bylaw, perhaps. I mean, they're probably still just laws now, but it's the same when they changed the Stamp Act, the Stamp Duty Act. There's no such thing as stamp duty in theory now. It's just called duty.
But people still call it that.
People can still call it stamp duty.
Yeah. Rob's just jumped into the water when you mentioned the word stamp duty. He's over there in Rottnest about to do himself harm.
Sorry about that, Rob.
Karina, keep him away from sharp objects. We use the term stamp duty. He hates stamp duty with a passion, as you know. Lola of Cloverdale. G'day, Lola.
Good morning to you. Beautiful day. I've got an unusual request with regard to verges. My verge goes downhill, and when it rains, it comes in the front entrance and the driveway. All the sand washes and all the weed seeds. Can the council do something to stop coming into my property?
Yes, Lola, is the short answer. The local government has the responsibility to ensure that stormwater from the streets are properly disposed of at that level.
It's the verge, not the road.
Doesn't matter. The verge is still the council's responsibility. Contact your local government and ask them, particularly after a big rain, take some photographs, put your raincoat on, get your waterproof camera out.
Yes.
Go and take some
wellies on.
Put your wellies on. Go and take some photographs. And invite the council, and they will potentially adjust the engineering of the road.
Good news. Thank you.
All the best, Lola.
Have a lovely weekend. Thank you.
Cheers, Lola.
Good on you, Lola. Thank you. And you can do that. Call us, that is, on 922-11882. Someone will walk away with $100 cash this morning thanks to Summit Granny Flats. You can find out more about that wonderful division of Summit Homes by simply going to summitgrannyflats.com.au.
Talking property for Summit Homes Group. Visit summithomesgroup.com.au.
It's been voted one of the world's finest attractions, Gardens by the Bay, Singapore.
6PR and the Perth Garden Festival give you the chance to experience Gardens by the Bay with three friends staying four nights at the Pan Pacific, and flying in style with Singapore Airlines.
To enter, go to the win page at 6pr.com.au or listen for the cue to call when 6pr talks gardening on Thursdays, Saturdays and Sundays.
The Perth Garden Festival, presented by the Sunday Times, is WA's most prestigious garden, landscape and outdoor living event, returning to McCallum Park from April 28th. 882 6PR. At Scarborough Toyota, it's all about making our guests look and feel great behind the wheel of their brand new Toyota. We're passionate about becoming the best in town. So whether it's a test drive, a capped price service, new genuine accessories, or simply a sharp finance deal, why not consider Scarborough Toyota? Find us under the freeway overpass on Scarborough Beach Road or visit scarboroughtoyota.com.au. Scarborough Toyota, striving to be the best in town. DL1761. Harvey Norman Super Weekend on now. Super special store-wide with a huge 5 years interest-free. Amazing offers, epic savings, spectacular deals, stunning prices. Plus, this weekend only, 5 years interest-free. Zero interest, no deposit with monthly payments until April 2021. Approved applicants only. Minimum financed amount $1,500. Interest applies if you do not comply with terms and conditions. Fees and exclusions apply. See website for details. Don't miss Harvey Norman's Super Weekend with 5 years interest-free. Trading hours may vary. Check store for details.
Right now at Masters, don't miss their buy one, get one free offer on Sherwin-Williams Super Paint. That's right, buy one 3.6-litre tin of Sherwin-Williams Interior or Exterior Super Paint and get a second tin free. It's a paint and primer in one, moisture and mildew resistant, and stands up so well against scrubbing and fading, it comes with a lifetime guarantee. Best of all, if you buy one for only $64, you get another one free. But be quick, the Sherwin-Williams buy one, get one free offer ends this Wednesday, April 27, only at Masters. You'll find Masters stores right throughout Perth in Bayswater, Bibra Lake, Lansdale, Ellenbrook, Joondalup, Forestdale, Brighton, Baldivers and Mandurah.
Get outdoors and discover the fun of metal detecting. Reed's Prospecting Supplies has metal detectors for coin and treasure hunting, as well as all the latest detectors for gold prospecting. Whether you're a beginner or pro, enjoy this fun hobby in any environment, and who knows, you might just strike it lucky. Reed's Prospecting Supplies, for all your metal detector needs. For more information, visit reedsprospecting.com.au.
From Anzac to Afghanistan, the Sunday Times and Perth Now's official 2016 coin collection ends tomorrow. Complete your collection when you purchase the Sunday Times and collect the last 25-cent gold coin-themed piece for $3. For more information, visit perthnow.com.au/learn-the-legend. Coins 2 to 14 are $3 each. Total collection is $47.10. Available at participating newsagents and IGAs while stocks last. Offer ends tomorrow.
Once in a while, a product comes along that's just brilliant. This is one of them. Magnetite is a retrofit double glazing system that fits in front of existing windows, no matter what shape or age, blocking noise by up to 70% and conserving energy. An incredibly clever system. Magnetite means your window functions normally, but with all the double glazing benefits. From a bedroom window to a full commercial fit out with no fuss installation. It's just brilliant. Google Magnetite Perth, like magnet tight.
Got a real estate question? Call now, 922-11-882.
Yes, and you'll be speaking either to Hayden Groves, the president of REWA, or Paul Donovan from MDS Legal. We've got a couple of calls on the board, but still plenty of room for you. And get in before we get too close to the news at 10 and Saturday morning at the football. Who have we got? We've got Frank of Lockridge. G'day, Frank.
Listen, I was watching TV the other night. They sell three houses or units. Now, in America, and I've forgotten the other spot, gas is not allowed in high-rise.
Mm.
I was wondering why over here you can have gas in high-rise, because that Maylands thing, I think I missed it the other day, it was going to be about 100 grand or something to fix it. They could have done electric for a lot cheaper and had less problem.
Sometimes when they do developments, well, particularly the older developments, Frank, that are established where there's gas running through there, it's the older infrastructure that causes the problem. So like, places like Maylands, places like the inner city and, you know, the inner city areas where they've built apartments in the 1960s and they've put gas infrastructure through and now it's no longer really compliant with current regulations in terms of safety. So that's some of the issues. But certainly the new infrastructure that goes through and the new developments that is gas is much, much better. And so whether or not, of course, they stand the test of time. Well, only time will tell. But certainly the cost of retro repairing older apartment blocks where there's gas fitted and there's problems is quite prohibitive. And unfortunately, a lot of the time, the people who own those individual units within those developments probably don't have a lot of money often. And therefore, it's very, very difficult for the strata company to raise the funds in order to fix the problem. And often, and I've certainly heard of cases where they just cut the gas off and say, you're on your own, you have to put electric in.
Particularly for safety issues.
Yeah, that's right. They just can't afford to take the risk.
Yep.
All right, Frank, thank you for that. Let's go to Joondalup up and talk to Jan. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Harvey. My question is a legal one. I had a cash unconditional sale of my property with a delayed settlement. The people then defaulted, the buyers defaulted on the contract. Is there any way that they can legally justify that so that I don't have recourse against them? I've since sold the property, but for substantially less than their accepted offer.
Well, to ask a question broadly, Jan, like, can there be any way? Of course, in contracts, if there's been, you know, misleading conduct, or if someone has not complied with a non-finance condition, or if there is a circumstance where someone contends that there, for example, hasn't been a disclosure of a relevant encumbrance or that type of thing, there's an ability to try to get out of a contract. You're in a far better position because, as you've said, it's cash unconditional. And in those circumstances, if someone's defaulted and they don't have a legitimate basis to do so, then generally speaking, you're entitled to take action if you've suffered a commercial loss by being in a position where you've had to sell the property for a lower sum. Has the deposit been forfeited?
Yes, it has.
Right. Well, that would indicate that if the buyer has permitted that to occur, that they're not going to be advancing an argument that they've got some legal entitlement to get out of the contract and it's a default. And interestingly, and this is very important, that if a buyer contends that a seller is defaulting for some reason, the default provisions equally apply that are in the general conditions for the sale of land. So, look, you know, you can never guarantee with these things. Once the writ hits the person who's the defendant, people can go and see lawyers and they can become imaginative. But the mere fact that someone comes up with an argument doesn't mean, of course, that they're going to win it.
Yeah, but you were saying, what your comment was that if they came up with a legitimate reason, so if the stipulation on the contract was there was an inspection done, which was, and that came back perfect, and then they had a delayed settlement, which they did, and rented the home during that time. And by email was saying, yes, settlement's getting closer, I can't wait, da-da-da.
Yeah.
That would really go against them.
Well, it would if they're going to be trying to say that there was some reason that they came up with during this period when they're writing you emails saying they're still intending to go, then you'd have to say that it's unlikely that the defendant's got an argument that they can raise by defence.
Yeah, but their argument that if we just all of a sudden we lost our money, that's really an irrelevant argument, yes?
It is, yes. No, the financial position of the defendant is something that is not going to get them anywhere.
Thank you very much, Jan. Now, off to St James we go. G'day, Tonya.
Oh, hi, everyone. I'm just wondering about, my daughter's just bought a unit in, well, last week in Queen's Park. It's a huge development and brand new. And I know it's sort of like trying to close the stable door after the horse has bolted, but would you think it's worthwhile? She paid about $300,000 for it. It's a two-bedroom unit.
Sounds like a pretty good price. You know, that sort of money for two bedrooms. Queen's Park, good strong growth area. I think longer term.
You think it's a good buy?
Yeah, look, I think longer term, I don't think it's an issue. There is going to be about another 4,000 apartments come on the market in 2017. It was about on the top of 3,000 this year.
And you think Queen's Park's a good area?
Absolutely. I don't think that's an issue. I think, you know, good proximity to the city, also, you know, growth area, underdeveloped in recent years. I think,
oh, God, I think, I feel so relieved.
Yeah, I think one of the issues, of course, is that it's not likely, because of this excess supply that we have in the apartment market, that we're going to see, you know, significant capital growth for a lot of these properties. And often, once you settle, there is a slight downturn in the gross values of these pieces of real estate, but in this particular market condition at the moment. But it's very mild, and generally speaking, over the next 4 to 5 years, I don't think there'll be an issue. So if the view to purchase is for long term, and it might be your daughter's first home.
Yes.
Well, that's, you know, you're certainly getting the first home buyer's grant. Sounds to me as if the purchase price was well and truly within the confines of what would be reasonable in that particular location. I don't think your daughter's going to have a problem.
I suppose it gets back, Tony, to the idea that if someone's going to buy a property like that, thinking they're going to be able to sell it in 12 months' time for a big windfall, then they're you're probably going to be disappointed wherever you're buying.
Not a lot of speculation in this market, Paul.
No, so it's all long-term, isn't it, Hayden?
Yeah, that's right. So it is at the moment.
Thank you, Tonya. Thank you very much. And I'm laughing because I've just checked my messages on my phone. You know those little smiley faces?
Sounds like a crayfish story coming.
It does. No, well, not really, but it is from the crayfish man. It is from Rob. He's got four words. The first two are stamp duty.
Mm-hmm.
The second two words are land tax.
Yes.
And there are six very unsmiling faces. You know the ones that go the opposite direction?
Well, we've been very strong with the state government this time around with our submission in relation to the budget, and we've said, for goodness sake, don't smack us over the head again with increases in property-related taxes. Mm. I mean, the trouble is that stamp duty is such an inefficient tax, isn't it? You know, the state government, because they craft budgets on what's going to happen in the future with the forward estimates, and if the market downturns and there's little supply, I mean, the thing is that in the metropolitan area last year, Harvey, there was only 36,000 property transactions.
Mm.
10 years earlier, 2005, there was 75,000 property transactions in the metropolitan area. So if you think about in terms of how much revenue from stamp duty, has been lost in more recent times, and that's the lowest level of turnover for 30 years. And so the government can no longer afford to rely on transfer-related taxes in relation to property for much longer. They have to really look at it longer term as to what their solution is going to be.
Exactly. 9221882. You might win $100 thanks to summitgrannyflats.com.au. You had a bit of homework to do from the last time you were on the show, Paul. Tell us about that.
Yeah, no, look, Harvey, it was interesting. After the show, I was contacted by a very nice couple who'd had a problem that is actually a common problem, and that is they're selling property and they have a buyer who has come along and said, well, my contract is subject to finance, but I've decided that I want to have, first of all, a longer time to get my finance, and secondly, although I said in the contract I was only after finance for a limited percentage, I've now decided I want more. So how about giving me some extra time? Now, as you know, Hayden, there's pressure on sellers because of the market at the moment to give ground in relation to these sorts of buyers, and there can sometimes be pressure placed by agents and others for people to give ground to keep the deal going. But it's interesting for sellers to be aware of their rights and buyers to be aware of their rights. But if a property has been sold in a contract for a particular percentage of finance, and the buyer decides, well, after the contract, I've decided I need more money and I'm going to get more finance, and oh, I didn't get my finance approved because they wouldn't finance me to 100% instead of 70%, the buyer then has a problem, and the seller has an argument that the buyer actually is in default, and if the buyer wants to rely on the finance clause to get out of the contract, the seller can contend, well, that's not something that's available to you because you've in fact not used best endeavours to get finance for the 70% or 60% or 80% that you're asking for. You've actually gone off and tried to get more money, and the fact that you didn't get that money falls outside of the contract, and therefore you're not entitled to get out of the contract, terminate the contract, and then all of the sorts of things that we were talking about with Jan might apply, so that the buyer in those circumstances would be liable for damages and forfeit a deposit and all that sort of stuff. The other thing I should add, of course, is that there are very significant rights in the standard offer and acceptance for sellers to demand that buyers provide evidence as to the endeavours that they have made to get finance. So if you've got a mate in the bank who will write you a letter, if you're the buyer that says, oh, well, yeah, we won't give you finance, ha-ha, as a bit of a favour, well, the seller is entitled to go behind that letter and get evidence under the conditions of the sale that the buyer has to produce to show that they have used what endeavours they have used to get that finance.
And agents tend to rely, and they need to be careful. Agents sometimes are a bit too quick to say, didn't get the finance, here's your deposit back. They need to be very, very cautious about that. Mm. And certainly good REWA agents will always have a really good look at what the circumstances of that non-approval letter that comes from the bank and around that. Because, of course, there was that famous case, wasn't there, Paul, about the letter coming not from the lender. What constitutes the lender? Getting a letter from a mortgage broker who is actually not the lender, just the facilitator of the loan, is that giving a decline of the finance approval? Is that sufficient? Well, it was found that it wasn't.
Mm. And because of that, the offer and acceptance conditions were changed to give greater definition as to what amounts to finance approval and non-approval. But that in itself is a vexed question. But then when you get to the deposit and whether the deposit should be forfeited, there is a very convenient structure in the general conditions that enable there to be a fairly measured way of dealing with deposits, so that in effect the person claiming the deposit has to give a notice. There's then a time frame for the other side to respond to that. And then if it can't be sorted out amicably, and the vast majority are sorted out amicably, then the agent, who's the stakeholder, can go down to the courts and lodge what's called an interpleader for the buyer and seller to sort that out. So there's a process about that. That's not just an automatic, oh, well, we'll give the deposit to this person, and it's provided for in the general conditions. So we always tell agents, make sure that all the parties are aware of that and that everyone complies with those provisions.
Excellent. Brett of Langford, why is there land tax when you can claim it in tax return? Seems pointless to ask for it to give it back.
Well, of course, that land tax is a state-based tax, and of course, you can at the moment anyway claim it against as an expense against your income that you might earn off that property. And in fact, if it's a commercial property, of course, you can just pass it on to the poor old commercial tenant as an outgoing expense who has to pay it as part of their outgoing. So, last year, the state government rose land tax by 24%, and after a significant rise the time before. There's also some pretty clunky aggregation rules in relation to land tax, which need to be sorted out this time round.
Okay, 9221882, your last chance to get on the show and maybe win $100. 9221882 is the number. It's 13 to 10.
Talking property for Summit Homes Group. Visit summithomesgroup.com.au.
Spend your afternoon with Peter Bell.
We've had a lot of attention on driver inattention, and usually it's the devices that most of us are peaking at and endangering ourselves and others. So a really concerted effort this long weekend with the double demerits in operation as well. But a motorist was caught in peak hour London traffic using his laptop.
This guy decided it was a fun thing to drive his push bike by holding an 8-foot extendable ladder, like a painter's ladder.
Afternoons with Peter Bell. Back Tuesday from midday on 882-6PR, the voice of Perth.
It's a little cough. You'll be fine, Dad. You don't need to see a doctor.
You don't need your bank card, Mum. How can you take care of your money when you can't even take care of yourself?
You'll eat when I'm good and ready, Dad. I've got to go out, so you're just going to have to wait.
Where do you think you're going? Who would want to see you?
1 in 20 people suffer from elder abuse, with 73% of abusers being relatives. If you or someone you know is a victim, call the Elder Abuse Helpline on 1300 724 679. Visit advocare.org.au.
You can now suit yourself at Tony Barlow Menswear with $200 to $400 off all pure wool suits. World-class brands are now $200 to $400 off. Suit yourself now from just $399 only at Tony Barlow Menswear.
In just 2 years, 50 Up Club has grown to have close to 200,000 members just like you. That's members 50 and over who want to save on their household expenses. Too many people stay loyal to the same old insurance or energy provider year after year, and chances are they're paying too much. Right now, there are 6 great offers available to 50 Up Club members, including home and contents, car, energy, life, travel and health insurance. For your free membership to the club everyone's talking about, go to 50upclub.com and sign up today. There's no obligation, and almost 200,000 members cannot be wrong. Visit 50upclub.com today to see if you can save. Log on now, 50upclub.com.
Tickets are on sale now for the latest Eagles in the Community limited edition Game Changer Lottery. The grand prize winner can choose between an incredible 21-day luxury coastal cruise and a land journey throughout Europe, valued at $125,580 or 125 grand in cash. Grab your tickets before May 4, and you could also win the early bird prize, an indulgent Maldives Club Med experience, or $20,000 cash. Tickets are strictly limited. Get yours at westcoasteagles.com.au/lottery.
I'm thinking of getting that hearing checkup.
Well, you know you need to go to Lyons, right?
Why's that?
Because Lyons Hearing Clinics are not-for-profit and the staff are fully qualified and everyone who works there is completely commission-free. That's important because it means they put your needs first and only recommend solutions that are best for you.
Glad you're on the ball.
To book your checkup at your local Lyons Hearing Clinic, call 1-800-0-LIONS.
Harvey Norman's Super Weekend on now. Super special store-wide with a huge 5 years interest-free. Amazing offers, epic savings, spectacular deals, stunning prices. Plus, this weekend only, 5 years interest-free. Zero interest, no deposit with monthly payments until April 2021. Approved applicants only. Minimum financed amount $1,500. Interest applies if you do not comply with terms and conditions. Fees and exclusions apply. See website for details. Don't miss Harvey Norman's Super Weekend with 5 years interest-free. Trading hours may vary. Check store for details.
This is Talking Property on 882 6PR, the voice of Perth.
Coming up after the 10 o'clock news is Saturday morning at the footy. We're changing our name, Carl. We're no longer the Hawthorn Hawks, we are the Houdini Hawks.
Well, that's you speaking because you are a mad Hawthorn supporter and yes.
No, we should be 1-4.
You probably should be. A couple of free kicks have gone your way in the last minute of play in both the last two matches. Amazing. That I've watched, yeah, from my lounge chair.
I can't argue with that.
No, but you've got to be good enough to get back into the matches, and that's one thing that the Hawks have been able to do. They put their experience in the middle of the ground, like Hodge came into the middle and you had Lewis obviously in there and Mitchell, and all of a sudden they start to generate some footy forward, and Poopolo and Rioli. And even Eddie Betts early, he drifted out of the game. But the small forwards, they have, as Bruce said, it's a small forwards game. He was going right over the top last night.
He's the same height as me, so he's got a vested interest.
Well, you can have an eye-to-eye conversation at least. Grand final replays can during the week. A lot of discussion around the Stephen May 5-week penalty, whether we should send players off. I think we should. Hawks, third 3-point win in a row, by the way, Harv, if you didn't know that. A lot of footy today, starting with the early game Sydney and West Coast, so we'll certainly be previewing that.
Kennedy going to play for the... I've got a vested interest in fantasy footy here.
150th today.
Kennedy for the Swans.
He's 150th today.
The Swans.
So there's no indication this morning that he's not going to play. In fact, the latest little plug that I got from the Sydney Swans out there in my little computer is that he's going to be playing that match today. So you should be happy about that. Some waffle footy going on. Collingwood fine for a late change. Does that really matter? That's just some of the things to talk about.
See you, Carl. Coming up after 10 o'clock news Saturday morning at the footy. Last caller is Kerry from Champion Lakes. G'day, Kerry.
Oh, hello and good morning. I've just got a problem with the planning of the area that I live in. My house backs onto a laneway and the garage floor, the level between the... I'm the last one in the laneway, closest to the road, the main road. So the laneway, I'm on the downhill of the laneway, and the level between my garage floor and the bitumen is too high for me to get... I can only get one car into my double garage.
Oh, because of the height difference.
Yes.
And is it a new home, is it, Kerry, that you've built?
Actually, I've built it 3 years ago.
Okay. And so this was a problem straight away, or is it something that's developed over time?
I didn't notice it straight away, actually.
Yeah.
But it's just probably because now, like, I heard the people ringing up about their verges. We have two parking areas outside along the main road, but for two of the houses in the laneway, because one of them has their own driveway.
Kerry, can I just ask you a quick question? Who owns? Yes. Do you know who owns the laneway? Is it a gazetted road, or is it?
It is, yes.
Gazetted road. Okay.
Satterley were the ones who.
If I suppose it was Land Corp who designed it all and then sloppily built the area.
Look, if it's a gazetted road, then obviously the local government would be responsible for the upkeep and maintenance of that roadway. Certainly I'd be inviting somebody from building and or engineering from the local authority to come out and meet with you and discuss the problem and see what can be done, because it might be that there will be a solution. I'm not sure, but certainly you need to have that first conversation, because that's really will kick it all off for you.
Okay.
All right.
So would that be Land Corp or would
no,
it be...
No, you'd speak council? To the local authority.
Local authority.
That'd
local
be the City of council. Armidale, I think,
yeah.
in your case.
City of Armidale. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much
indeed, Kerry. Nearly out of time. What's on the agenda for Dethridge Groves today, in particular the principal, Mr. Hayden Groves?
Well, a long weekend, of course, Harvey. So it can be mixed. I mean, generally speaking, autumn has always been the best time to sell property. You sell more property in autumn than any other season, if you look back historically, and that's across the metropolitan area. I do hope that my sales force out there this weekend will be selling up a storm, because the market's actually not too bad. You just have to get your price right as a seller. Yep. You can't be asking any cheeky prices out there in this market. But if you get your price right, the first 3 weeks of being on the market, if you haven't got an offer, generally speaking, your price is too high.
Yep. And as far as MDS Legal is concerned, Paul, how do we get in touch with you? I know you do get some feedback from the show.
Yeah, look, most people just look up on the old Google, MDS Legal or Paul Donovan Lawyer, WA or whatever, and you'll find me.
All right, good o, mate, and no point in giving a number out. People never take them down anyway, so just do the Google. That's great. Thanks for coming in again, mate.
Always that's a pleasure,
short notice,
yeah,
by the way.
Great to be here. I'll
give you a bit more notice next time.
No problem at all.
That you complain about it for 1 second. Lola of Cloverdale is our winner today. She talked about the flooded verge and so forth and so on. You've won $100 thanks to summitgrannyflats.com.au. Thanks very much to Gemma for producing the program. Stand by, folks, for the news and Saturday morning at the football.
Talking property for Summit Homes Group. Visit summithomesgroup.com.au.